Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
Well, my name is Lizzie Wolfe. I'm the rector here at St. George's. And today we are continuing our sermon series looking at the seven signs in John's Gospel. If you were here last week, you may remember that these seven signs are all miracles. Each one gives us a snapshot of God's transforming love as the kingdom of God bursts into our world. And together, they act a bit like clues in a treasure hunt, leading us to the greatest treasure of all, Jesus. Now, last week, we looked at the first sign, which was when Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. Today, we are looking at sign number two, a long-distance healing. Now, this story of long-distance healing centers around a man who does three important things. First of all, he asks Jesus for help. Oh, that's not the right slide, is it? Can we move on to the one that's the one we want? Three important things. First of all, he asks Jesus for help. Secondly, he believes Jesus. And third, he sees healing. We're going to work our way through each of these three things in turn. Now, they're all big topics, so I'd love to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to highlight anything that is particularly relevant for you this morning. So let's start with the first important thing. The man asks Jesus for help. We can see this in verses 46 and 47 of our reading. There was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Now, we're not told very much about this man at the center of our story. He lives in Capernaum, which is down by the lake, about 20 miles away from Cana. Now, 20 miles may not sound very far to us, but if you're traveling by foot, as they would have done in those days, it's probably a day's journey. We're also told he is a royal official. So we're probably talking about someone of high standing in Herod's court. This man has responsibilities. He may be quite influential. And we know he has servants, so he's used to giving orders and getting things done. It's likely that a royal official's visit would cause a bit of a stir in the local area. It probably drew quite a crowd. Bible scholar William Barclay comments, "There could be no more improbable scene than an important court official hastening 20 miles to beg a favor from a village carpenter." Sometimes our position can get in the way of us coming to Jesus. The royal official doesn't let that stop him. We don't know how he felt. Maybe it was hard to swallow his pride. Maybe he struggled with what the crowds would think of him. Or maybe he was just a desperate father who was willing to try anything to save his son. For us, the most important thing is not what was going on in that royal official's heart. It's what's going on in our hearts. Are we coming to Jesus, asking him to help us in our families, our workplaces, our studies, our friendships? Or are there things, perhaps even good things, that are getting in the way? To help us think about the sort of thing that might get in the way, I'm going to tell three little stories just as examples. Some of you may have heard of a lady called Jackie Pullinger, who went out to Hong Kong as a young woman to work amongst the gang members, the prostitutes, and the drug addicts there. Over the past 40 years, she has seen God do remarkable things and bring extraordinary transformation. I once heard her explain how her people couldn't do anything in their own strength. If they turn away from the Spirit of God, she said, they literally fall off their motorbikes. But, Jackie said, some of you here could run a bank in your own strength. So if you drift away from God, it's not so obvious at first. Now, I imagine that might be true of some people here. You actually could run a bank or a hospital department or whatever your job is in your own strength. Now, of course, your skills are good and God-given, but the danger is that you might start relying on yourself instead of God. Make sure that you don't let your abilities get in the way of asking Jesus for help. The second example of something that can get in the way of asking Jesus for help is this: worrying what other people might think. Now, some of you will remember that I became a Christian as a teenager when my school friend told me about Jesus. However, when I was a student, I was rather a secret Christian. Basically, I thought that Christians weren't cool, and I didn't want people to think that I was weird. Now, obviously, if I had met all the fantastic Christians here at St. George's, everything would have been fine. But looking back, it was actually a big barrier to me going deeper with Jesus and living out my faith. The only thing I did do was go to church sometimes and sit quietly at the back without talking to anyone. If that is you here today, then I am really glad you're here. And I would love to pray for you afterwards. So do come and find me if you would like that. The third little example is past disappointments. Now, a few years ago, I had a very negative experience. I'm not going to go into any detail about what actually happened, but I was left feeling betrayed, let down by the church, and confused as to why God would let it happen. The bishop gave me a month off, and I went to visit some very close friends in New Zealand. While I was there, I had to take a short internal flight, and I misread the time of departure. When I realized my mistake, we jumped in the car, but it quickly became apparent that I was going to miss the flight. I remember sitting in the car and thinking, some people would probably pray for the flight to be delayed, but I can't be bothered. God doesn't do that sort of thing for me. Well, you've probably guessed what happened. I got to the airport. My flight had been delayed just long enough for me to catch it. Now, it didn't fix everything that had happened, but I took it as a sign that God was still there. He still wanted to be involved in the detail of my life. When God doesn't do what we long for, it can stop us from coming to Him again. Sometimes there's deep pain, and recovery can be a long process. But if that's you, could today be a step towards healing and hope? If you're aware of something that's getting in the way of you coming to Jesus, whether it's similar to one of the examples that I've given, or maybe it's completely different, we would love to pray for you. And we're going to give some time to prayer at the end of this talk, before the children come back for communion, so that parents can join in too. Now, we've been thinking about how the royal official asks Jesus for help, and how we might do likewise. Next, we're going to move on and we'll think about the second important thing that the royal official does in our story, and that is he believes Jesus. This is verse 49 and 50 of our passage. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Here we have a great model of faith. Without seeing anything actually happen, the royal official took Jesus at his word, he turned around, and he started his long journey home. If you read John's Gospel, you may notice that there is a thread running through it about believing Jesus without needing to see signs and wonders. It's here in our story in verse 48. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you'll never believe." And it reaches a climax at the end of the gospel when the risen Jesus says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, many of us will have times in life when God feels particularly close. Jesus is alive. And he does miraculous things in our time, in our generation. If you have seen God act this week, tell your friends. We want to share good news. We want to encourage one another. But most of us also have tough times when we're not sure what God is doing or where he is. We're called to keep believing in the everyday. We're called to keep believing in the storms. We're called to keep believing in the wilderness times. I expect there are some people here today who are in the situation of the royal official at this stage in the story. God has spoken to you. You're holding on to God's word, but you haven't seen breakthrough yet. If that's you, I want to honor you for your faith and courage. Know that God sees you. You are not forgotten. And I want to ask all of us, what are the hard things that you are praying for long term? Can today be a day when we encourage each other to trust God and to keep going? As I was preparing this talk, I felt that God was giving me a prophetic word. This is what the word was: dust off the ancient promises. Dust off the ancient promises. And I wonder if God has spoken to some of you, in some cases perhaps quite a long time ago. Perhaps you prayed with faith and expectation for a while, but you've stopped. Could today be a day when you recommit to pray and to trust God in that area? In our story, the royal official believes Jesus. That's the second important thing for him and for us. Then thirdly, the royal official sees healing. Verses 51 to 53. "While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, 'Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him.' Then the father realized this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.' So he and his whole household believed." Our story emphasizes that it's Jesus' word that makes the healing happen. His word has authority and power. His word reaches out across the distance so that at the exact time Jesus says your son will live, the official's son gets better. Now, of course, that shouldn't surprise us. 20 miles is nothing for someone who created the entire universe. But if the person that you most identify with in our story is the official's son, if you're feeling sick and far from Jesus, be encouraged. Jesus can reach you wherever you are. The way it works is this: in his grace, Jesus offers wonderful gifts to the royal official and his son and to us today. And we receive by faith. David Watson, a Christian leader who had a fantastic healing ministry, put it like this: "Faith is the open hand by which we take what God is offering us in his grace. Faith is the open hand by which we take what God is offering us in his grace." Having just looked at how we're called to believe Jesus and have faith, it's really important that we get this straight in our minds. Healing is not some kind of competition where whoever has the best or the most faith wins healing. And if someone isn't healed, it does not mean that their faith isn't up to scratch. Jesus sometimes said, "Your faith has healed you," but he never said, "Because you haven't got enough faith, I'm not going to heal you." Now, we're going to be looking at healing quite a bit over the coming weeks because three of the seven signs in John's gospel include healing. Actually, four if you include raising Lazarus from the dead. I hope that we'll be able to hear some testimonies and we'll be able to think about some of the issues that are raised. So I'm not going to try and say everything there is to say about healing today. All I want to do today is give a big picture framework for biblical healing. The Bible tells us that the root cause of all the problems in the world is sin. Now, that does not mean that there's automatically a direct link between a particular sickness and a particular sin. In John chapter 9, there is the story of the man who was born blind. And the disciples asked, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? And Jesus says, neither. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. However, there is an indirect link between sin in general and sickness in general via the fall. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world, disrupting the original harmony of creation and causing all kinds of suffering, including sickness and death. But God had a plan to mend his broken world and to rescue his people. With the arrival of Jesus, the light dawns. He tells people that the kingdom of God has come near, and he shows the kingdom of God breaking into this world with signs like this long-distance healing. On the cross, Jesus won the ultimate victory. He broke the power of sin once and for all. Because of the cross, Jesus offers all of us forgiveness and relationship with God. All we have to do is reach out with the open hands of faith. And Jesus offers all of us a living hope that one day he will return in glory, bringing the kingdom of God in full. There will be a day when everything is put right. There will be a day with no more death or sickness, crying or pain. Until that day, we remain fragile human beings in a broken world. When we pray for healing, some people are gloriously healed, and we rejoice with them. Some people are not healed, and we weep with them. It can be hard to hold together these very different experiences in one community. But if we want to see healing like the royal official did, we need to keep praying. My experience is the more people we pray for, the more people we see healed. A few years ago, Dave and I were in a small group with a man who was severely anorexic. He became extremely ill. He was hospitalized. In fact, I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that he was dying. One time, one of our group went to visit our friend on his way to a small group meeting. He arrived at small group so shocked that we abandoned our plans and we spent the whole evening praying for healing. A short time later, I saw our friend's wife, and she told me that something had shifted. As the conversation went on, we realized that the evening she regarded as a turning point was the same evening that we had spent praying. It was still a long journey, but from then on, he started to get better. And now he is doing really well. He's home, he's eating, and he's back at work. Now, in our Bible story, we have seen how the royal official does three things So let's have them back up on the screen. Three important things. He asks Jesus for help, he believes Jesus, and he sees healing. Has the Holy Spirit highlighted something for you as I've been talking? Something that it might be good to pray about now? Perhaps there is something that's holding you back from asking Jesus for help. Maybe you need encouragement this morning to keep believing God through storms or hard times. Is God calling you to dust off ancient promises and to keep praying for something specific? Do you want to pray for healing?
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.